This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Presidential politics dominated the news this week with the Republican convention taking place in Cleveland. Joining us to discuss the GOP convention and other stories affecting the tri-state are Cincinnati Inquirer Columbus Bureau Chief Chrissy Thompson, WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Politics and Government reporter Paula Christian, and from WCPN Idea Stream in Cleveland, reporter and producer Nick Castell. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chrissy, Nick, and Paula, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Hey, Chrissy, I was just wondering, did the Ohio delegation wear the Ohio Against the World apparel last night?
Oh, I don't know if we saw any Ohio Against the World. My colleague Jesse Ballmer was down with them the whole time. She's actually sitting here with me. She's shaking her head no. So they had, you know, the Kasich pins here and there, some Kasich buttons, and then of course we had Dave Johnson from the Youngstown area who was a Kasich supporter but has wholeheartedly embraced Trump, and he was doing all of the Trump cheering and the Trump hat wearing and the sign waving and everything for everyone. So.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I'm disappointed because I'm a Cavs fan. I was kind of hoping they would at least, you know, wear the shirt for various different reasons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of the Ohio delegation was there to cheer on John Kasich, if not Donald Trump. There were a few people who were really into, the speeches and stuff. But from what I could see right next to the delegation, seemed like a lot of people were sitting politely applauding at times. But, they weren't the most vocal fans in the arena.
I think looking from up top, our delegation was notably one of the only groups that sat for the majority of the speech. And, there was this little pocket of you couldn't see over, you know, the Pennsylvania people's hats. So, but our delegation, I think they were all there for the most part because they really wanted to hear what Donald Trump said. They are, despite this feud with John Kasich this week, they are trying to make a decision about how each of them will choose to support this nominee or whether they will choose to.
Do you think the speech last night did anything to push them one way or the other or to help ease their concerns?
You know, it was interesting. They were the most enthusiastic about what they called the more inclusive parts of his speech. Most of that actually came at Ivanka's speech, but Trump did have some of these moments talking about the LGBTQ community, talking about African-Americans and poverty in our urban cities. Or urban centers, rather. They liked those parts of it, and then they just are going to have to decide what to do with some of the more divisive, controversial, or even dark portions of the speech. They seemed rather uncomfortable. I really feel like Donald Trump didn't answer the main questions in the Ohio in Ohio Republicans' minds. This week, you know, a lot of people would like to find a reason to support him, and they're kind of looking for him to be more inclusive in order to gain their full support. And there wasn't enough of that last night. Mm.
What do you think? So, what are those main questions, Chrissy? What are they?
Well, we've seen in polls that Ohio voters don't think that Donald Trump is prepared to be president. They're wondering that. They think that Hillary Clinton is more prepared, and so. Last night we heard Donald Trump he said he had a plan for America. He rattled off a lot of the different portions of that plan, but he really didn't give any new specifics. And specifics is something we've heard from Ohio delegates, and I think that kind of goes to that thing that we've seen in polling from people just saying, you know, what would he actually do? You know, like for instance, he said he was going to fix TSA last night. Like, well, how? I mean, TSA is one of the most broken things in government.
That got a lot of applause, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a big applause line of the night.
Yeah. And some chuckles. I mean, I guess Attorney General Mike DeWine really got a kick out of that one. So, and then other things that folks are wondering is, do they believe and trust Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton? Right now, polls are showing that they do. He kind of is hitting on these issues about safety and the economy that people feel uncertain about. But do they think he has a plan and prepare to fix those things? Those are the questions in the Ohio voters' mind.
Go ahead, Nick.
And I just was going to say, you know, some of the reporters on the floor, we were trying to talk with the statewide elected officials, Mike DeWine and Mary Taylor, some of the others who were there. Dave Yost was there. And I think it was very telling. Both Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor and Attorney General Mike DeWine both, you know, talked about as people who might run for governor in 2018. They both had the same line on Trump. They said, you know, listen, this is a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and we cannot let Hillary Clinton win. And when they were later asked, well, are you going to be doing anything to campaign for Donald Trump this year, you know, to help him win Ohio? They said, our first priority is getting Rob Portman reelected to the Senate. I think that tells you exactly where they stand in this. They're going to say that they support Trump over Clinton, of course, but then they're going to talk about Portman. I think it shows you that they're not doesn't sound like they're going to be out there, you know, wearing the Make America Great Again hats, you know, trying to really get things out for Donald Trump.
Paula?
Well, I think that we might see next week that Hillary Clinton is going to have some of the same problem with motivating these Bernie Sanders supporters to show up for her. You know, the ones that I've been speaking to are saying, half of them are saying, okay, I will vote for her because I don't want Donald Trump, but I'm not going to go out and campaign. I'm not going to make any phone calls. I'm going to not going to knock on any doors for her. Kind of the same. It's almost like a mirror image, really, of these two campaigns.
Yeah, Paula, we're waiting to hear a word from Hillary Clinton's campaign on who her vice presidential running mate will be.
It could
come at any time.
Yes.
Between now and Monday. So I guess my question to you is the right person's going to help with that Bernie Sanders issue, isn't it?
Well, it could. The Bernie Sanders folks, they really want a progressive. They want somebody who will appeal to something that attracted them to Bernie Sanders in the first place. They don't want another just establishment moderate Democrat. That's what they have in Hillary Clinton. But it doesn't look as though her pick is leaning that way.
That's right. A lot of folks think that the front runner is Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. He's a centrist like Hillary Clinton. So, you know, Virginia is a swing state, but I really don't often that the running mate isn't enough to carry a swing state like that. So it really looks like she's leaning towards someone that she feels more comfortable with, which is sort of how she's operated over the years. You know, we don't really expect Hillary Clinton to make any big changes in her positions, to become more progressive to win over these Sanders voters. And Donald Trump made an appeal to them last night through Ivanka's speech and mm-hmm. through some portions of his speech as well. Really feels like he can win some of these Sanders voters. An awful lot of us, you got to think, are going to vote for Clinton, but it's possible that some of these folks are up for grabs.
Yeah, it's interesting you're talking about the progressive themes that you heard from him and more so from Ivanka. But I was rather surprised to hear Donald Trump bring up the idea of relief for student loan debt. That came mm-hmm. as quite a surprise.
That's one of those blatant plays for Bernie Sanders folks, and something mm-hmm. that Republicans criticized over and over again as saying, oh, how are you going to pay for this? And again, we just didn't see any specifics about Donald Trump yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was sort of a grab bag of policy proposals that came up in both Ivanka's speech and Trump's speech. You know, Ivanka had mentioned paid family leave, and, you know, Trump, of course, mentioned student debt. And it kind of made you turn your head and say, what are you talking about? You know, you've never mentioned this before on the campaign trail. Is this from, you know, is there some policy position or plank that we've been missing? They seem to kind of come out of nowhere and, you know, wasn't exactly clear, you know, what the policy positions or answers they were speaking to.
No, at times I thought last night, what convention am I watching here? I mean, it just was so out there. But I think we're going to see some of that next week as well. Some of this, she is going to be trying to do the same thing, throw things out there to try and lure people that are undecided over to her camp as well.
And Chrissy, I think to Paula's point, and I think to your point as well, the article you wrote this morning, what was the word you used? He's not a conventional candidate or something along those lines?
I think I said typical. I've used probably too many times, but yeah. That, I think that was the point, is that nothing that we've seen this week has been typical. And truly, Donald Trump has won the Republican nomination and even made a comment last night, you know, as a Republican, it's really great to hear you guys cheer for this line he used about LGBTQ Americans. He has chosen this party strategically. This is not a man who has come up in the ranks like our past candidates have. He had a convention that, you know, last night went relatively flawlessly from the perspective of his campaign, but the week was chaotic and off-message often, and, you know, but he's never been a typical candidate, and we can't assume that the typical things that would apply to, you know, Hillary Clinton or Mitt Romney or John McCain will apply to Donald Trump.
But it was great TV. It was great. I mean, it might have been filled with missteps, but it was great TV. And Donald Trump is a master at great TV. So you have to wonder, was this the convention he actually wanted all along?
Okay. It may have been.
What a question. You know, and here's the question also, is which Donald Trump is running for the nomination in the first place? You know, we have the Trump last night who opened with, I mean, there were portions of his speech that were so dark and the room was so tense and heavy. I mean, these are people who support this, but really like, oh my word, we are in deep doo-doo here as a country, you know, type
of thing. Yeah, it's not the Morning in America speech, is it?
No, and then to the point that Trump even ad-libbed, you know, way earlier than he was supposed to, like, it's okay, we're going to fix it, because it was just, wow, intense. And then you have these, you know, almost gentle, almost gently sticking in some of these more progressive ideas. And then, of course, we have this morning, you know, I don't know if your listeners are caught up on this, but Donald Trump gave a speech to some supporters, donors on his way out of town in Cleveland, and lit into Ted Cruz, brought up John Kasich again, brought up Dan Scavino, his staffer, who tweeted the Star of David. He suggested that the National Enquirer should win a Pulitzer Prize. Said that he was not responsible for the Lee Harvey Oswald JFK assassination conspiracy stuff with Ted Cruz's dad, except for that he pointed out he did bring it up, but otherwise it wasn't his fault. You know, I mean, and
so was he trying to make up with everybody all at once?
He's just trying to take everyone off all at once. I mean, I don't even. Mike Pence is standing behind him, like if Mike Pence bore a hole in Donald Trump's head from staring at him behind his head, that would have been what happened. I mean, it was so. Is this the Trump that we have? The one that we've seen, you know, throughout this campaign that just is can't let anything go and just flies off the handle. I mean, it's quite a puzzle.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss the GOP convention and other stories affecting the tri-state, Cincinnati Inquirer, Columbus Bureau Chief Chrissy Thompson, WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Politics and Government Reporter Paula Christian, and from WCPN Idea Stream in Cleveland, reporter and producer Nick Castell. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. What about Governor Kasich? The Trump campaign's been feuding with him, started early in the convention because he didn't endorse Trump and he wasn't going to have much of a presence at the convention. I think along the way, Kasich has even stopped saying Trump's name. Is there any sign of that whole feud easing?
Well, Trump is going to want Ohio to win. So I don't know if we're going to see him eventually try and make some peace with Kasich to appeal to Ohio voters.
I think the only sign of this feud easing came earlier in the week after there had been sort of a spat between Matt Borges, the Ohio Republican Party chairman, and Paul Manafort with the Trump campaign. Paul Manafort had said Ohio should be embarrassed that John Kasich wasn't endorsing Trump and on the stage. And evidently, Donald Trump called Matt Borges and they talked over something. And after that is when Borges, you know, kind of said, you know, we're ready to support the nominee here. So it seemed like there was some sort of detente, but whether that actually involves John Kasich or not is a different question. I know speaking to a lot of Ohio delegates, people said, of course, Kasich was their first choice. And they didn't seem to, you know, harbor any hard feelings toward him also for not being at the convention. They said he's got to do what he's got to do and follow his conscience, and we're going to let him, you know, do that.
Chrissy, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I just would point out that this morning Donald Trump criticized Kasich again in this in the middle of this rant of sorts, he is not letting up on this. And in fact, yesterday Paul Manafort, right as the convention was opening, was on MSNBC and said that maybe they didn't even need Ohio to win. Which no Republican, I mean, we use this all the time, but no Republican has ever made it to the White House without winning Ohio. So that would certainly be a vastly different electoral map than we've seen in the past. So I feel like Borges is a close Kasich ally, and there's really only so much that Trump can do or say before. I mean, he told me earlier in the week that he almost on Monday said, that's it, you know, you're on your own. So, if Trump is not willing to let this rest, it's going to be hard for him to keep. I mean, look, for instance, he's already lost some of the staffers who were going to sign on to help who were Kasich himself, or one in particular, and then a second is kind of reconsidering himself.
Chrissy, Paul, I'll go ahead, Nick. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, I think an important thing to remember, too, is that Donald Trump right now, as far as many of us can tell, does not have a really strong and big organization in Ohio right now. Hillary Clinton is opening campaign offices. Donald Trump does have a campaign manager, I think, for the state. But does he have offices open? Does he have volunteers, canvassers? It's hard to tell. And if he doesn't have that, he's going to need to rely on the Ohio Republican Party and the political infrastructure that's already in place in Ohio to get out the vote, to go make the, you know, the door knocking and the phone calls that he would need. So if he doesn't make nice with Ohio Republicans and get them on his side, it's going to be harder for him if he can't mobilize that organization.
Well, Nick, and it's interesting you bring that up because Kasich's got a pretty strong political machine himself. So I keep scratching my head over the feud he's having. You know, that Trump is having with Kasich and thinking, why are you trying to shoot yourself in the foot ahead of time or something?
Well, I think you've got to also consider that, you know, the 2016 is not the only year people are thinking about right now. I'm sure there are people thinking about 2018, the statewide races in Ohio, and 2020, the next presidential race. And we're seeing many of the vanquished Republicans making very different choices about how they're going to handle Donald Trump. You've got Chris Christie, you know, wholeheartedly endorsing him. You have Ted Cruz giving a speech on the floor of the convention and very, very notably not endorsing Donald Trump and getting booed off the stage, basically. And then you have Kasich, who's staying quieter, but also is, you know, making his silence speak perhaps a little bit louder as well. So what that all means for each of these candidates, it kind of remains to be seen, but you got to think they're thinking about the future, too.
And Chrissy, I wanted to go back to Paul Manafort's comment. I believe he, in your reporting, you said he made this to Chris Matthews on MSNBC. The idea the Trump campaign might not need Ohio. Why would he say that? What is he thinking that they can do without Ohio?
Well, from a strategic perspective, Trump has a lot of support in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has two more electoral college votes than Ohio does. And generally speaking, in George W. Bush's electoral map, he won Ohio and not Pennsylvania. So, Manafort is saying we can win in Pennsylvania, we can win in Wisconsin, some of these blue-collar states where these blue-collar workers may support Trump over Hillary Clinton. He even brought up New Jersey as being in play, which he says he has a poll there within reach in New Jersey. I mean, that's kind of hard to believe, but one never knows. So, but just from a personality standpoint, I mean, this is an election where strategy does not always dictate what happens, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason that Paul Manafort brought that up is because they are not going to concede this feud with Kasich. And this is a battle of egos, and this is a battle of really, you know, Kasich brings up this two paths thing that he said in his speech in April, kind of too late to make a difference with the race, honestly. But this is a battle of what the Republican Party or just a presidential candidate in general is going to be.
Well, Kasich and, Trump and Clinton are polling dead even in Ohio right now. They are as close as can be. So I don't know. In some way, I was thinking that Trump can either decide if he wants to be right or if he wants to win. And it sort of reminds me of, you know, this, you know, fight with, you know, your spouse. Do you want to get what you want or do you want to be right or would you like to get what you want? So I'm just thinking at some point Trump's going to have to make an overture to Ohio. It's going to have to come.
One would think. I mean, I agree with you, Paula. I just go back to the fact that this isn't a typical candidate. And when, you know, I really thought Donald Trump was done last July when he said that John McCain was not a war hero. And he is the presidential nominee. So, you would think that some of these things just won't work for him. But I think a lot of his supporters, and we need to bring this up, a lot of his supporters, and honestly, a lot of Kasich supporters. I have heard from some people who supported Kasich in the primary, and they would like him to please be quiet and stop. They feel like he is the instigator here. They feel like, you know, okay, fine, don't endorse him, but walk.
What was he doing in Cleveland, you know, for the time when was he just sort of lingering around on the outskirts? Was he, I was kind of confused what he was doing there.
Yeah, what was his exact role and what was his presence?
Well, he spoke at a number of events. He spoke at some delegate breakfasts, and he did have one bigger event in the week as well. I wasn't personally present at any of those, so I don't know if Chrissy, if she's still on the line, can fill us in. But he was, you know, obviously not on the floor. He, of course, was not speaking, but there's plenty of other activities going on in Cleveland around the convention. And so Kasich at least had a role to play there. And I know that there were also some other delegations, like the Illinois delegation, that had a chance to go get lunch with Kasich. So, you know, he was putting in some face time with Republicans, whether he was in the queue or not.
And Nick, I think we did temporarily lose Chrissy. She's actually traveling back from Cleveland while we're talking to her. Let's talk with Ellen in Oxford, though. Good afternoon, Ellen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, why has there been so little discussion of the Republican Party platform? I feel like I've heard almost nothing about that.
Yeah, and they do have one. It is out there. It does exist.
Well, it's pretty interesting, too, to think about the contrast between Donald Trump's speech last night and the platform itself. The platform, my understanding at least, I wasn't actually covering any of the battles over the platform earlier in this convention, but is much more socially conservative than you've ever heard Donald Trump, you know, say. Donald Trump on the floor, you know, says the phrase LGBTQ, no matter how difficult it seemed to come out of his mouth. You know, the platform committee and the platform of the Republican Party did not, at the end of the day, I think, endorse, you know, any more sort of progressive ideas about, you know, the LGBT community. So there is this disconnect between, you know, the conservative activists who want to have an influence on the platform and Donald Trump, who is sort of forging his own path.
And Trump is really good about speaking these broad themes and these big picture fixes to all of the problems that, you know, his base is really just been struggling with. But even in his speeches, he's just been very short on specifics.
I think last night was the most detailed I think I've ever heard him get.
He would say quite often that he was going to fix this and he was going to fix that. And
that's where it always ends up.
Yes. And I was thinking, well, I'm sure someone before him had thought about fixing this, but he never quite said how he would do it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. He listed all of his priorities, but not very many. So, and honestly, okay, so Bill Johnson, he's a congressman from Ohio. He's from Southeast Ohio. He has kind of come behind Trump now that the Kasich gets out of it. I asked him in an interview earlier this week whether he thought Donald Trump had a plan, and his answer was, well, we'll see. And that, that appears to be maybe the best we're going to get at this point. So a lot of voters, when you talk to them, even acknowledge that Trump doesn't have a lot of specifics, but they feel like he will be able to hire the right people to get the things done that he has promised.
Okay, let's talk with Myra in Northside now. Hi, Myra.
How about Mira?
Mira. My apologies. I don't have a pronunciation guide, but thank you for correcting me.
Okay. Why has no one mentioned my greatest concern that affects all our offspring and future generations, and that is climate change? And it was not mentioned at all, as far as I could tell.
No, I don't remember hearing anything about that either. No, that's a topic that will likely come up next week, but perhaps not as much as some of the Bernie Sanders supporters would like. But that is a very big topic for the millennial generation. That is one of their key issues. They use that in it's high up as student debt in determining who they'll vote for. But you're absolutely right. We heard nothing about it.
Right. There was no mention of climate change last night, and really not much mention either of sort of the associated energy issues, too. I mean, I believe Donald Trump may have said something about oil at some point, but it wasn't a big focus. There was no talk of coal that I could tell, which, of course, is an issue that often comes up every 4 years in the election. But you're right. Climate change, I don't think, was mentioned a single time during the 4 days of this convention.
Mm-mm.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join us. And let's talk to DJ in Gulf Manor. Hi, DJ.
Hey, how are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Hello. You know what bothers me when I listen to all of this, just like the person, the caller just before just said about, you know, climate change, but a lot of things that's not mentioned or haven't been given detail. You know, Donald Trump just said, oh, I'm going to be great at this, I'm going to be great at that. But what's so sad is adults and let this person get this far just by saying those type of things. That's sad, because if we let our kids do that, if we let our kids vote for someone who is acting that way, we would be all over them.
Well, DJ, one of the things you wanted to get across in your call was that you don't really think Trump plans on doing anything.
No, but why do you even have to? I mean, my opinion, and I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, my opinion is when I see Trump is into television, you know, the pageants, and so he knows about ratings. So if Trump has been able to do all the way up throughout this whole thing, it just be controversial or say something crazy or say something stupid, and media loves ratings. So they will rush over there because they figure someone else is going to be over there first, and so he gets all this free stuff. You know, you don't have to put boots on the ground or open up offices. All they got to just keep saying ridiculous things, they're just doing ridiculous things, or just saying things out of the norm, and media goes up and give them all this free stuff. He gets free coverage.
DJ, thank you. And it's like Paula was saying earlier, you know, he knows how to make good TV.
He does. And also, I think from the very beginning, everyone has underestimated Donald Trump. No one expected him to come this far. And I think that the biggest mistake that Hillary Clinton can make is to underestimate him as well. He's unconventional. Everything he does is he has shredded the political playbook, and he is still vastly succeeding, and everyone is just trying to wrap their head around how he's doing it.
And I think there are some Republican delegates who would agree with the caller, too. Donald Trump was not the candidate they wanted to see on the stage accepting the nomination last night, especially in Ohio. I talked to one delegate who had worked for the late Senator George Voinovich, and he said, I wanted to hear someone who could stand for conservative principles, but in a way that talked about building our country, building up, being positive, being open and inclusive as a party. And that was not the candidate that he saw accepting the nomination.
Chrissy, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah, you know, I think the important point here to point out is that none of this is possible if is not such a polarizing candidate. You know, we have Democrats and Republicans alike who are not really thrilled with either choice. And Ohio Republicans, you know, Republicans in general aren't all the way thrilled with the fact that Donald Trump is their nominee, but so dislike Hillary Clinton. You know, it was interesting. The theme of the first 3 days of the convention wasn't planned this way, but it was basically Hillary Clinton should be in prison. You know, lots of shouts of lock her up, and you know, the Christie should be declaring her guilty, and Hillary Clinton is not going to be in prison. The federal government will not be pressing charges. This is a done deal, and people in Ohio, voters really have to decide at this point. You know, I hear a lot of lesser of two evils, even from people at Donald Trump rallies. You know, and really have to decide. Okay, with Hillary Clinton, do they want to embrace a party and a candidate who is so vehemently convinced that she is honestly a criminal? So there's quite a bit of that going on.
I think that we're going to see a lot of negative motivation being used as we get closer to the fall election. Both the Clinton campaign and the Trump campaign, I think, will be trying to turn out their supporters by saying, look how bad the other person is. You're going to hear Hillary Clinton saying Donald Trump is dangerous and we cannot afford to have him in the Oval Office. And I think that's what they're hoping is going to motivate people to, you know, leave their house and go vote. And you're going to hear Donald Trump say the same thing about, you already hear him saying the same thing, calling her crooked Hillary and all the rest. So this is, I think, whether you like it or not, going to be an election that's a lot about negativity.
So Nick, it's vote for me because I'm not the other candidate.
Absolutely.
And that can really motivate voter turnout. Voters either turn out because they really like a candidate or they really don't like a candidate. That in and of itself, that sort of intense, I don't know if you would call it hatred, but dislike, we could have record turnout this year.
We will continue our conversation after this. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss the GOP convention and other stories affecting the tri-state are Cincinnati Inquirer Columbus Bureau Chief Chrissy Thompson, WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Politics and Government reporter Paula Christian, and from WCPN Idea Stream in Cleveland, reporter and producer Nick Castell. You can join us at 513-419-7100. And let's talk with Vernon in Oakley. Hi, Vernon.
Hi, panel. Very interesting discussion. I have just two quick questions. I am not a active Trump supporter, but why did none of the media, from PBS, NPR, to the networks, to cable, bring up the fact that Cleveland needs the money? It's a major city in Ohio. You know, the governor not coming to the convention to support the economic benefits of the city, I have not heard any comment about that. It's not an issue of mine, but it did kind of bug me a little bit. And the second thing is, on Trump, why do I not hear anything about working with Congress, working with the Senate, because many things he talks about, he cannot do alone.
Reaching across it, yeah.
Czar, I have not heard anything about that, and I haven't heard the media question that, you know, or challenge him on that, even in interviews.
So, okay, Vernon. Nick, do you want to field the first one as far as the economic boost from this convention and Kasich's absence from it?
Well, Kasich was in Cleveland for a lot of this. I'm not sure if his appearance on the stage would have made any difference in terms of the dollars and cents that the city would receive. I think, the question as to whether Cleveland will really see a big economic boost from this is still yet to be answered. Of course, supporters of this convention will be, you know, doing an economic impact study and will come back with some numbers showing this is how much money they think business has made. One thing to consider, though, is that there were people who probably didn't do as much stuff in Cleveland as they would have otherwise because they were locals and they knew that there's going to be so much happening downtown with the convention. I know of people who just got out of town for the week. I know that's anecdotal, but I think it at least lends itself towards sort of painting this picture of I'm not really sure if you know we're going to see a huge economic boost or not, but you know, kind of that study is yet to be done, and so the numbers are kind of yet to come in.
And Nick, you know, I've heard similar stories. Again, they're all anecdotal, as you're saying, but I've heard similar things about the business that they were expecting to get from this just didn't materialize, possibly because people were concerned about the crowds, the traffic, the security, and just didn't want to go anywhere near it, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, without actually having some hard numbers, it's really hard to make a judgment one way or the other. So it's kind of a question that has yet to be answered. But certainly plenty of people were really hoping this was going to be a boon to them, whether it was folks who were going to rent out their homes, you know, on Airbnb or something to make money off of delegates looking for a place to stay, or people who came down to downtown Cleveland with, you know, boxes full of T-shirts and buttons to sell those to convention goers. You could walk up and down Euclid Avenue, sort of the main drag in downtown Cleveland this week, and you just passed, you know, vendor after vendor after vendor selling Donald Trump T-shirts, hats, buttons, the whole, you know, menagerie of stuff. So definitely a lot of people were hoping that they could make a lot of money this week.
So how are things going in Cleveland? I mean, in terms of security, there were so many concerns initially that there might be problems. Did things stay pretty calm during the week, Nick?
Yeah, you know, the court system in Cleveland before this week had said they were prepared to be running court 20 hours a day so they could process as many as 1,000 people a day who had been arrested during demonstrations. After 4 days of protests, 24 people were arrested. That's it, just 24 people. So the expected, I think, chaos in downtown Cleveland just did not materialize. Whether that's because the police presence was just very visible all throughout downtown Cleveland, or whether that was because a lot of protest groups just decided to sit this one out, hard to tell. It's probably a mix of both. But I know that you could walk around Cleveland this week, and I mean, everywhere you looked were just dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of police officers on horseback, on bicycles, walking around, especially around Public Square where some of the protests were. Police would form long lines to keep opposing groups apart from one another and to sort of make it a little bit harder for someone to be running around causing chaos. So, I mean, Cleveland was really locked down, and you did not see a lot of arrests at the end of the day.
I read an interesting story that was on your website, Nick, the bike patrol in Cleveland. How much did they contribute to keeping the peace?
They were a huge presence in Cleveland. Whenever there was a demonstration that was marching up and down the street, the bike officers would be riding right next to them. And the advantage for police of having these bikes is that they sort of double as a movable fence. So police could, you know, line up along a road and basically create a barrier to block it off. And nobody was able to get past the bikes. There were times when police would sort of, you know, use the bikes to push people back. And I mean, it was a barrier that they could create and build wherever they wanted, make it as long as they wanted. And it was very effective in, you know, kind of keeping people apart from one another.
So how's the cleanup going, Nick? I guess they're turning Quicken Loans Arena back into a basketball site again.
Yeah, it'll be turned back into the arena for, of course, basketball as well as hockey and, you know, Disney on Ice and everything else they do in there. And I left work this morning, actually, at about 5:30 or so in the morning. And as I was driving home, a lot of the barriers, the big steel barriers that had been set up to create special lanes for VIP, those were already taken down. The streets were already being turned back to normal, even within a couple hours of the convention being over. So this was a quick buildup and a quick teardown as well.
So Nick, we'll say goodbye to you at this point. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Definitely. My pleasure.
WCPN IdeaStream reporter and producer Nick Castell in Cleveland. Thanks, Nick. We had another major convention that was going on in Ohio this past week, and that was the NAACP convention. I want to talk some about that, Paula, before we finish up here, and with you too, Chrissy. Now, you've been reporting about this for WCPO.com. We've been expecting to hear Hillary Clinton sometime before Monday make announce who her running mate is going
yes.
to be. One of the people on that potential VP list is Labor Secretary Tom Perez.
Yes.
And he actually got to speak at the NAACP convention this week. So
yes.
Tell us about...
He spoke on Wednesday at the Labor Luncheon. He was the keynote speaker. He gave a... He's a very rousing speaker, and he really seemed to tap a vein with the crowd liked him. This was a room filled with hundreds of civil rights and labor leaders from across the nation. And Perez is a very progressive guy. He is very close to the unions. He had a lot of progressive ideas about paid family leave, about raising the minimum wage, about be getting paid for overtime. That really resonated well with the crowd. So he is on Hillary Clinton's shortlist. He could perhaps allow her to reach the important Hispanic Bloc vote, but he is not up there on the ranks of Virginia Senator Tim Kaine or Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, so who are much more moderate, sort of vanilla, safe Democrats who Hillary seems to be leaning towards.
Mm-hmm. Chrissy, what are your thoughts on Tom Perez?
Yeah, I agree with Paula. I mean, you know, one thing that Tim Kaine, again, looks like the frontrunner lacks, that some of these other candidates, including Tom Perez, bring is some sort of racial and ethnic diversity certificate. And I think that Hillary Clinton feels like she has those folks locked up on some level just because of some of Donald Trump's more divisive rhetoric. So, that's something he has in his favor. And I know there are some folks that are disappointed that it looks like the ticket won't have that. But at this point, their number one priority is just not being Donald Trump elected.
And it's really, if you speak to the Bernie Sanders folks, they are just so desperate to sort of have some sort of, they just want some part of this candidacy. And they were really hoping for a progressive vice president, an Elizabeth Warren, a Sherrod Brown, a Tom Perez, even a Cory Booker. And it's just looking like they are not going to get that. So I don't know. I don't know how this affects Hillary Clinton trying to bring those Sanders supporters onto her side.
You know, I think, like I said about the racial and ethnic diversity as well, you know, I think she's really kind of making a bet that these are people who are going to vote for her and doing things that she feels comfortable with. And that's kind of how Hillary Clinton has operated for much of her career. She has, you know, about most of the same policies, and she hasn't moved very much. She continues to be a centrist Democrat, even though she made a couple nods here and there to some of the things that Bernie Sanders said were important. But she is not going to change largely. And so these folks, they really do have a decision to make. And she's taking a gamble with this VP pick if it turns out to be Tim Kaine, some of her positions on whether she could bring these folks on board.
Meantime, you also had Hillary Clinton speaking at the convention.
Yeah, she spoke on Monday, and she gave what I thought was a very good speech. She knew exactly what her audience wanted to hear, and she gave it to them. I mean, she spoke about everything. I mean, she spoke about a theme of unity and healing. She spoke in defense of law enforcement, and she also spoke candidly about how white people need to do a better job of understanding what it feels like to be a young Black man in America these days. She really seemed to identify with, you know, the problems from everything from healthcare to unemployment to, having a second chance when you get out of prison. She hit on every single theme that the audience wanted to hear, and they really embraced her. They gave her standing ovation after standing ovation. So she did well, in my opinion.
Chrissy, any thoughts?
Hillary Clinton is going to win the vast majority of African American voters. Mm-hmm. And what really is at play here, especially when we talk about a swing state like Ohio, is just the sheer number of voters that will turn out to vote for her. There isn't any concern about African Americans generally voting for Donald Trump, but will they turn out in the numbers that they did to vote for Barack Obama in the last two cycles? And if there's even a couple percentage point difference in the turnout there, just from lack of being quite as excited, that's a big excitement, and that sort of thing is a big motivator, especially for Democrats in urban areas with African American voters and the like. Mm-hmm. So, if there is even a couple percentage point difference in the number of people who turn out, that could make the difference in the Ohio election, especially as it's tied right now.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly right. The African Americans will vote for Hillary Clinton, but how many of them will vote for her? And she tried in her speech to instill some real urgency, some sort of, what will happen to our country if Donald Trump is elected? So, you know, some of that same sort of fear-mongering that's taking place on both sides she was trying to use that as the sort of urgency to go out and vote.
You also had Governor Kasich speaking at the event. Even though he didn't speak at the RNC, he did get to speak at the NAACP. What was his message?
He gave a very short speech. It was about 10 minutes, but he was well received. I would say it was a sort of a tepid reaction, welcome for him in the beginning. I would say half the crowd gave him a standing ovation at the end. He talked a lot about what he had done in Ohio to improve things like Medicare expansion, the number of government contracts going to minority business owners. So he talked about issues that were important to that crowd. He didn't talk as much about the recent violence as Hillary Clinton did, and he didn't sort of tap into some of the racial themes of that she did as well. But it was a good speech, and he came, and I think they were appreciative of the fact that he came since Donald Trump declined their invitation.
Chrissy, what do you think is Governor Kasich's political future? What's it looking like to you?
Yeah, well, okay. So his team has said all along that Donald Trump cannot win the general election, that he is the only Republican who could beat Hillary Clinton. So if they're right, and if he continues to not endorse Trump, they feel like they will be one of the only Republicans in the country not tainted by this situation. They feel like his name is out there now, and they feel like he could run again in 2020. Now, whether he's going to want to do that, that remains to be seen, and also, a lot of these folks, if that were the case, will run again, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz among them. So, and it remains that John Kasich has already run for president twice and lost. So, but they are trying to actively keep his name out there. That was the purpose of things like this NAACP speech and his activities with a variety of delegations here in Cleveland this week. Mm-hmm.
Well, it will be very interesting to see what is next for John Kasich. He seems to have this loyalty among Ohio Republicans who just seem so dedicated to him. And it does seem that he's trying to sort of keep his name pure and untainted by any association with Trump whatsoever, so that if he does run, his opponent you won't see a TV ad with Kasich up there at Trump at the convention, which you would see that if he had done that.
So, Paula, the NAACP convention, it's been held in Cincinnati 2008, I think, and then this year as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any talk that it's going to be returning to Cincinnati sometime in the future?
You know, that's a really good question. They like to come to Ohio during election years because Ohio is such a swing state, and they know they can attract presidential speakers to come. So that's a motivator. And Cincinnati's been a very friendly city to the NAACP. And it's been one of those cities that's come back from racial discord and made a lot of changes that have really turned things around here. Cincinnati likes to see itself as a model that other cities could follow. So it has several things working to its advantage. So I would, if I had to guess, I would say, yeah, in 8 years, they could be back.
Chrissy and Paula, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cincinnati Inquirer Columbus Bureau Chief Chrissy Thompson, WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Politics and Government Reporter Paula Christian. Next week, coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Philadelphia. Howard Wilkinson will be there, and he'll be reporting during Morning Edition, Cincinnati Edition, and All Things Considered. And NPR will have live coverage of the Democratic National Convention starting at 8 o'clock in the evening.